So we are starting a summer series on the book of Psalms. We're going to start just learning some things about what Psalms has to teach us. It's such a wonderful book. It's a great starting place for so many people. It's just a great learning tool. We're going to talk about learning about God's faithfulness, his love, his power, his grace. Today we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to start and talk about his promises, God's promises, and his faithfulness. That's where we're going to start in the Psalms. The Lord has shown us so much in the book of Psalms that when people go through storms in their lives, it's just that he is there with them. And the anchor that we use to hold us in times of storm. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about his faithfulness through those storms, his promises that he gives us through those times of storms, and his faithfulness through those storms. The older I get, the more storms I recognize, I see that I've been through in my life, that I'm going through in my life. You know, everybody goes through those storms, health concerns, financial concerns, family issues that we have. And it always seems like when there are different size storms, there are small storms, there are large storms, those big storms can hurt. They can hurt. And they test our faith and they test our endurance. But as we go through life, we need to figure out how we can make it through those storms. Sailors know that for a ship to make it through a storm and not be destroyed on rocks and not drift out into the unknown, they have to use an anchor. That anchor fixes them to something immovable. We as Christians know that our anchor does the same thing. Our anchor is the Word of God. In the Mediterranean world, the anchor is a great word picture. It's a wonderful word picture because it's so easy to understand. It's so easy to kind of see what it does. It grasps on. It holds. And in the catacombs, where some of the first Christians so long ago stayed and they worshiped God in those catacombs, they studied about God. They wrote. They did a lot of things. They had to do these things in these catacombs. But they found these pictures, these amazing pictures on these catacombs, where with anchors on them. They found 66 different ones, 66 different pictures of anchors in those catacombs. And they showed these ships that were being tossed, being thrown around, but they weren't being destroyed. They weren't destroyed. They were held and they were saved because they were tethered to something immovable with an anchor. We all go through storms, again, whether they're financial, family, loss, whatever. We all go through those things. But we always need to remember what our anchor is. Just like every ship has an anchor, let's talk about this anchor that we have. Psalms 119, verse 105 tells us that that anchor, that word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I think that's such a wonderful place to start. Even in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, tells us the grass will wither and the flowers will fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. The word of the Lord stands forever. What a promise. So this is why this anchor is so important. Because some storms are brief. They kind of go through, and we even think we can take care of things on our own sometimes. They're brief, but some storms are very, very long. How will you weather the storms that you go through? Because they're always going to be there. In this crazy life, in this life that we have, it's a fallen world. There are always going to be storms. And just when you get through this one storm and you start to, okay, I'm through this. Bam, that other one's waiting for you. It's waiting around the corner. We live in a fallen world. Storms happen. So where do these storms come from? I think sometimes, okay, where is this storm that I'm going through? Where is this coming from? Sometimes those storms happen from decisions that I make. Sometimes those storms come from decisions that other people make. And affect us or some things that other people do that affect us. Sometimes they come from the devil, and sometimes they come from the Father. Now, the first three are easy. Easy for me, anyway, to get through. The first three, when I think of, you kind of have that target. You kind of have that enemy that you're like, ah, this guy's doing it to me, or this doing it to me. But when you think God could be doing this to me, God could be putting me through a storm, that's kind of tough to get sometimes, isn't it? It's kind of tough to think about, kind of tough to get your head around sometimes. Understand, and we're going to talk about that today. That's what we're going to focus most of our time on today. When God gives us a storm in our lives, there's a purpose. There's a purpose to it. There can be a couple different reasons that he gives us a storm or brings us a storm in our lives. Number one that we're going to talk about is to get our attention. And like the kids, like my kids in front of a video game, it's kind of funny, and I may even be able to get them on this. But Lucas, he's playing some game, and I can say to him, Luke, come on, get done with your video game. We have to get going. We have to get over here and do something. Wait a minute. Wait for it. About a minute later, Luke, come on, it's time to go. We got to go. Wait for it. And then finally, it's, Lucas, get up and go. Let's go. And that's when I normally hear the what? Because he finally gets it. But so many times, God wants to get our attention. God tries to get our attention. He uses storms sometime to do it. We sometimes think when everything, especially when everything is going well, that we don't need to grow. We don't need to get better. We don't need to grow in our faith. We don't need to get stronger with our faith. Things are going really well for me. That video game is going great. Until somebody needs to get our attention. God gets our attention through a lot of different ways. But that's the first one that he sends a storm to get our attention. The second one, to get to some sin in our life. We need to recognize that there is something in our life that should not be there, that shouldn't be there. He wants to get rid of something, and I hold on to it. And the longer I hold on to it, I've seen it. The longer I hold on to it, the bigger that storm gets. I've gone through those little afternoon thunderstorms, those little afternoon rain showers, and I've learned my lesson. But I have also gone through some major tornadoes that I'm still holding on to something that he wants me to get rid of because I'm not learning from it, and that storm continues. The little afternoon thunderstorm didn't work. So the storm's raising, the storm's raging to help me with that. And it's all for my good. That's with all this, you understand. It's for my good. It's to better me. He knows what's the best for me. It's those things that he knows that are in my life are going to hurt me. And I may not see it, but he does. Another thing that he does when he sends a storm, sometimes it can be because he wants us to surrender something. He wants me to loosen my grip on something because he has something much better for me, whether that be a job or a situation that I'm in, that I'm taking part in. I'm holding on tight to it, and he says, I have something better for you. You're not understanding right now, but I have something better for you. And he's getting my attention for that. It could also be something where I'm noticing myself, or sometimes I don't even notice it, starting to get conformed to this world. It happens a lot. We get conformed and we start conforming because it's so easy to conform to this world. And he says, wake up. Hey, wake up, Lucas. Wake up, David. Oh, you're okay now, Luke. He says, wake up. I'm getting your attention for something. I want you to be transformed to my image, not conformed to this world. These are all things that he uses to equip us to serve him better. So think about it for a second. Is there something in your life that's uncomfortable for you? Is there something that God's trying to get your attention about? You can use this time right now that we're going through in this, in our COVID-ridden world right now, to think about those things and think about what God could be doing with you in your life and what God could be sending your way and how God's trying to get your attention. What are you upset about? What are you angry about? What are you sad about? What are you disappointed about? Knowing that these things, and knowing that these are some reasons that God sends storms and how he uses storms in our lives, we need to ask, God, are you trying to get my attention for something? Are you trying to get my attention? Is there something in my life that's not supposed to be there? Is there some sin in my life? And I don't know about you, but I don't normally need to ask that question because I know fully well what that is. And when he's trying to get my attention about something, a sin in my life, but to ask him, Lord, is there something that you're trying to get to me in my life? Is there something that you're trying to tell me? Is there something that you want me to sit up and take notice about? Do you want me to surrender something? Am I conforming too much to this world instead of transforming to you? What are you equipping me for? And that's the main thing. What are you equipping me for? It's so cool to think about so many times, and even just our missions conference last week, to think about how God's using people in different parts of the world, how God's using people like us even here to do some amazing things. And when we sit back and think about it, okay, what's next? What does he have for me? When we sat at the missions committee up at the parsonage last week, just thinking about it, it was so exciting thinking about, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? What are you preparing me for that I can be used by you in this certain thing that I don't even know yet? But it's so exciting to think about that kind of stuff. Some people are not serving God because they have not yet been equipped. They have not reached a point yet. They haven't reached a point yet to surrender themselves to God for his purposes. It's hard to think about sometimes. And storms affect people in different ways, all kinds of different ways. They can destroy or they can develop. They can give you strength. They can give you wisdom. They can give you commitment. They can build your faith. They can give you peace. They can give you joy. Do you ever think about a storm doing that? I think about martial arts. We've taken martial arts for many years. And there's parts of that where even dietary, there's dietary stuff. There's exercise stuff. There's stretching stuff. From the dietary standpoint, there's times that we just get so bogged down with the crazy things that I eat that I just need to kind of focus a little bit and get back to basics and get back to things that are going to be healthy for me and allow me to work at my peak performance. There are other times that we try to work out in these certain ways and we're missing the point on a lot of things. That we need to go back to basics and go back to getting our stretches done right, getting the things that we're doing right to focus us where we need to be. So I think it's so important when we think about stuff like that to cleanse the impurities and to stretch muscles to allow us to get healthier and work at a much higher performance level. When storms sometimes come, people will ask, oh, why did that happen to me? I didn't deserve that. This is so unfair that this is going on right now in my life. Can somebody just take this away from me? Understand, Satan loves it when we get a defeatist attitude. When we get that, just take this away from me, I don't want it, I can't do it, this is not fair, this should be somebody else, not me. This is not right that this is going on right now. I'm a good person. I didn't do anything to deserve this storm in my life. Sometimes we go down that path and we start thinking about that. Again, Satan loves to use those things because it's something that we don't have the power, or we don't look to where our power should be to get us through those storms. That anchor, we don't look to that anchor to get us through those storms. We just want an easy way out. Because then things like depression fall into place. Then things like that defeatist, I can't do it, I can't do anything, I can't be used for God. All that stuff comes out. We need to look deeper and look at what God is trying to do in our lives and talk to Him about what is this storm all about. So how do we handle these storms? How we handle a storm depends greatly on how we view our God. Is He a legalistic God looking for every bad point of mine to point out, to get me on? Or is He that artist that's chipping away the rough points to create a masterpiece? See, all these things, there's just such, even as I go through this, I mean, you guys have seen me, have heard me go through this. I'm so simple. I love the way the Lord talks to us in simple ways that people like even me can listen and can focus on. The Lord puts these things in our lives, and when we pay attention, great things can happen. So when we ask, how do I see God? Understand, He is a just God and a merciful God. But we need to have that anchor in our lives for the calm and for the storms. We drift if we don't have that anchor, if we're not anchored to something immovable. All of us do. If we think we don't, then we better wake up and check that anchor. If we stop reading the Word of God, we're going to drift. If you stop talking to God, you're going to drift. If you stop worshiping and praising Him with other believers, you're going to drift. If you stop putting yourself in places with other believers, just for that recharge from getting beaten all week, in this world, we drift. Why? Why does that happen? Because of this world. It's an atmosphere of sin. In that atmosphere, you drift unless you're anchored. Bottom line. If you do not believe that you need an anchor, you're very, very wrong. And you're going to drift. So what is your anchor? The world says that anchor can be anything you want it to be, anything that makes you feel good. How sturdy is that? Not too sturdy. Financial anchors right now are not too great. Political anchors, not too strong. Our anchor needs to be the Word. Storms are inevitable. Our anchor is immovable. Keep that in mind. Storms are inevitable. Our anchor is immovable because it is affixed to the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So people ask, how does the Bible anchor you? We want to be able to give them an intelligent, a true, a biblical answer. And through this, over the last couple months, I've been doing a lot of studying. I've been thinking a lot about things. I've been listening to a lot of people that I consider to be very wise. And Charles Stanley had a fantastic quote about what the Word is. I'm going to put it up here. It is the written record of God's unfolding revelation of Himself through the spoken Word in nature, in history, and through the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it one more time. It is the written record of God's unfolding revelation of Himself through the spoken Word in nature, in history, and through the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. I think that's so neat. I don't know that He was the first one to have that, if He adopted it from someone else, but I think it's pretty profound, and I think it's pretty understandable. In youth, we talk a lot about preparing to give an answer, preparing, because people are always going to ask. People are always watching us. We talk about that a lot, right, guys? People are always watching us. Be prepared to give an answer. And when they ask that question of, oh, I don't know if I can, or I guess it's more of a statement. Your Bible has errors in it. Doesn't your Bible have errors in it? Like, your Bible has a bunch of errors. What's the first thing that we need to ask?
Show me where.
Yeah. Your Bible has a bunch of errors in it. Really? Where? I'd love for you to show me where those errors are. So we need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared for a question like that or a statement like that. Where does the Bible have errors? It doesn't. Do we have a God who would mislead us? Of course not. He is a God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A person that says that there are errors speaks out of ignorance, out of unbelief, or out of sin. We actually get to know what God is like by looking at, I'm going to ask for the Sunday school answer. How do we get to know what God is like? What's the Sunday school answer? Jesus. Of course, Jesus. We get to know what our God is like by looking at Jesus, by looking at the words of Jesus and seeing what Jesus did. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We get to see what God is like. The Bible is without error. God governed the way he told men his words and the way he wanted them to write them. If you don't understand who God is, the anchor will not work. The anchor is the eternal word of the eternal God. It is God's book without error. He is the creator, the sovereign ruler of the universe, and judge of all mankind. As we move through our summer series in the Psalms and look at Psalms, this truth becomes so evident. He could not be holy and give me a book full of errors. It just can't work. So how does God's anchor work? It comforts us during the storms. Psalm 57, verse 1. Talks about, and let's read it together. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I take refuge in you until the storms of destruction pass by. During storms in your life, go to the book of Psalms. That's a great place to start. Look at the life of David. He faced one storm after another. A lot of those storms he brought on himself, but some others were not, didn't have much to do with him, except that God was able to use them to make him who he wanted him to be. But the book of Psalms is full of honesty and sincerity. David made statements like, my soul is in despair. He was hurting. God was his anchor through that hurting. He supported him. He saved him. He guided him. He comforted him through all his storms. David clung to the word that told him that God is omniscient. He knows where I am in my storm. He knows where I am in this storm. He clung to the truth that he is omnipresent. He is with me wherever I am in that storm. And he clung to the truth that God is omnipotent. He has the power to bring me through the storm. That's who the Bible says he is. Look at Jesus. When his disciples were in a boat on a storm, through a storm, He could have walked around on the shore to meet them. But he walked to them. He knew where they were in the storm. He got into the boat with them in the storm. And when he got into the boat, he calmed the storm. Think about that. I think about that a lot. When he got in that boat on those stormy seas with some of the most powerful things going on all around him, the wind, the waves, all kind of stuff that had these people that were veteran sailors all shaken up. He stepped into that boat and all he had to say was, calm down. Or shh. And all of a sudden that storm, that raging storm, listened to him. It listened to him. He can do the same for us. That anchor is full of promises to give us peace in storms. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said that to these guys that were living in the storm that very night. The next day, Jesus was about to be crucified. It was about to become a tornado. So he was the living anchor. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He promised that, and he delivered that. He promises, and he delivers. Understand, there is no storm that you will ever go through in your life that does not have a promise in the Word to match it. We serve an infinite God. He knew every storm that would happen throughout mankind. From Adam and Eve to present day to when Jesus comes back and wraps this all up. He knew about that. Nothing surprises him. Nothing has ever surprised him. So, when he gave us his word, his anchor, this anchor that we follow, how many storms do you think his promises cover? Every one of them. You will not think of one ever. You're not going to ever think of one that his word does not cover. It boggles my mind sometimes to think about there are people that go through this life without opening the word of God regularly. Without using that anchor, like being on a ship in a storm and not using that anchor. How foolish. They cannot prepare for this godless society, this very difficult world. There's a checklist that I have to follow on a daily basis of what my day entails. And it's client lists. They're working with different agencies. Different department meetings that I'm going to be having, supervisions, corrections of any documents that went through. I have to do those on a daily basis. And I wouldn't think about starting my day without that being in place. My day would be a disaster if I didn't have that in place. Think about even today. Well, don't think about today, but on most... No, the music team, the worship team gets together, and we have things that we work with. We have things that we make sure we're set on, from the order of service to different parts that people will play in each song, to words that are going through and the parts that have to be on the right timing for us, all that kind of stuff, and even sometimes when those storms come. They get a little crazy, but we learn from them. But I would not think about starting a Sunday without those things in place, without those set things in place. But we do that all the time. We sometimes think we can start our day without talking to God, without preparing our heart and our mind for the storms that are coming up. We may not even understand what storms could be coming. There are so many storms that we don't see coming. But to not prepare for them by talking to God and by being in His Word and starting our day off like that, that's a rough way to go through the day. I don't know what those storms are, but He does. Think about what He said to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Meditate on My Word, and I will make you prosperous. That was His promise, and He kept it. Why would I try to tackle this crazy, COVID-ridden, morally bankrupt, protest-happy world in my own strength? The sailors anchor themselves to an immovable object during the storm. Did they get tossed around? Absolutely. Did they get beaten up a little bit? Absolutely. But they ride out the storm and sail on. This anchor needs to be a part of our lives every day. And don't ever think of falling into that trap when people say, well, just know the New Testament. Just study the New Testament. That's all that's important. That is completely wrong. So not true. The Old Testament is extremely important. I think it's one of the reasons we're starting in Psalms with this. It's extremely important. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at Joshua. Look at David and Daniel. You can learn a tremendous amount about how the Lord works from watching Him with these guys. How would I see these examples without my anchor? And if He did these things in their lives, what will He do in mine? Because there was nothing special about them either. I talk to my boys, sometimes our kids, about, boy, if the Lord can work with people like Saul and people like Jacob and do the things that He did with them, He might even be able to use a nightmare like me. Because if He can work with those screw-ups, who knows what He can do with even somebody like me? He did not give us those examples because they were a good story. Paul in Corinthians tells us the Old Testament is to teach us so that we do not repeat the same mistakes and suffer the same consequences as those who went before us. We can see what the Lord did during those storms. Our storms are not just accidents to Him. He knows every one of them. Think about the storms that you've gone through in your life. What's way more important than the storms themselves is how God was with you and God worked with you and what God worked through those storms. Sometimes while you're going through them, it's not easy to see. You have to look. And another thing that's so important, more important than the storm itself, is how we go through those storms, how we make it through those storms. Remember, no matter what the storm is, He is at work in it and through it. Will we trust Him? Will you trust the anchor that He gives us? It does not help a ship to have an anchor through a storm if they don't use it. Our anchor does not work if we don't open it. Osmosis will definitely not cut it. I have tried in college a lot, and it never worked. Never worked once to learn the things that they were trying to tell me through that book. It sure doesn't work in the Word of God. Unless we open that book, we can't use it. The anchor only works if you, number one, read it. Number two, meditate on it. What is it saying to me specifically? Believe it. Apply it to your life. And obey it. I think it's really interesting that the on the day that we said we were going to start our summer ministry in the book of Psalms, I'm not sure if anybody has the Bible app on their phones that they like to use, but the Bible app, the verse of the day, anybody see it? Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. I'll let you read that on your own later today. But I just think it's pretty amazing how even the Lord worked that out with, as we started our summer series in the book of Psalms, today, the worldwide app on the Bible was, the verse of the day was, Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. So next time that storm hits, remember your anchor. Hold to it. Trust it. Use it. That's how you weather the storms of this crazy life. So as we begin this summer series in Psalms, let's commit to taking full advantage of the anchor that God gives us to weather the storms of life, to be that lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the anchor that you give us. Lord, it is so hard to believe sometimes that there are people that go through their lives without looking to you. But it's also difficult to believe sometimes that I don't hold to that anchor like I should. Sometimes I don't let you get my attention. Sometimes I don't let go of a sin that's in my life or something that I'm holding on to that you know there's something better for me. Lord God, we just ask that you would bury something so simple as this truth that it's not profound that we need to be in your word. It's not profound that we need to be with you. But Lord, sometimes we make it so difficult. Father, allow us to just see you in the storms that we face and understand that, Lord, you have provided an anchor for us. Father, we thank you for your promises, and we thank you that you keep those promises. Lord, allow us to hold true to that anchor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.